Hi, this is Tony Mowbray, and you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
So who would have thought it, eh? Amelia Lilly, third, Middlesbrough, fourth.
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast, with Rob Nichols and friends.
It'll change, I'm sure Middlesbrough will move up into third and second place beyond, you know. It's just, you know, Amelia, we supported her, Borough Lass, etc. Didn't quite make it.
Not quite this time.
A voice there, Rob Nichols. All set and ready for issue 499, yes, one before.
Ooh.
The big half millennium.
That's right.
Yes, Brighton, of course, a retrospective one because, well, we kind of figured it was going to be a win in any
case. Yeah, we did, yes, that's right.
It's all sorted through.
There's an uplifting show then.
Exactly, from that perspective. Of course, when last we spoke, you were just about to head down to Peterborough for the glory of a 1-1 draw.
Absolutely, yes.
Thankfully,
to stand up.
There you go.
It's a rare thing these days.
Thankfully, Mallory Martin. Or is it just Mallory Martin? I don't know. French chap decided to do the business against Bristol City. And it's all looking quite nicely, but present really for the festive season, Rob. You know, unlike Middlesbrough in times past, it has to be said.
Well, there's still a post-Christmas slump to come, maybe. No, that's what you want to do, isn't it? If you lose a game, then you bounce back with two victories in a row. And then it's, you know, we lost against West Ham. Looked all doom and gloom. We beat Bristol City in the last minute, thanks to Mallory Martin. And then Brighton 1-0, thanks to Casper, the friendly goalkeeper, spilling the cross. But it's worked out better than when we had the 3-0 draws in a row, isn't it, really?
Exactly. And there was, of course, the joy of hearing Alistair Brownlee on BBC T's go, goal, after Mallory Martin actually scored. It's Bristol City.
And by that time, by the time he'd finished, probably the match had ended.
That's Alistair, you see. That's the bottom line. Promo coming up from Alistair Brownlee later, no doubt. We'll be featuring Andrew Glover, who, yes, is going to be tying the knot officially in the new year and therefore will not be going to see Brighton and Hove Albion. We've got the notion of Chris Bartley winning ugly and, indeed, general reflections on Nicky Bailey, Scott McDonald, Barry Robson, Joe Bennett and Stephen McManus all actually signing Borough books, posters, calendars and a whole range of things in the MFC Redhill Town Centre store. We'll go to Nicky Bailey first because I thought actually BBGR could be another little strap phrase. We have obviously FMTTM, but BBGR, big battle, good results. So you are going here.
Yes, like it.
Opening line there.
Yes.
Nicky must presumably be reasonably happy at present.
Oh, yeah, I think so. It's a strange sort of transformation for him because he was a goal-scoring midfielder, looked like to get in the box, burst into the box and score a lot of goals. But
Touré, basically.
Yes.
Two things could be easily made, easily confused, really.
But Tony Mowbray saw something else in him. He saw a player that always naturally got back to fill in for other players when they pushed forward, and Billy is phenomenal at that. You see him just filling in at centre-back, right back or wherever, flying in with the tackles. I don't want to tout him about, but I would have thought there's a lot of Premier League clubs could do well with a player like him.
But they're not going to get them because
they're not
obviously
get him.
You know, needed for when Middlesbrough assume
push
natural,
on.
Exactly, line for it from that point of view. The other aspect, of course, is we do have another Super Mac. There are those of us of a certain chronological age who might recall the other Super Mac, who was known for his lack of front teeth, I think, at a time. But
it was,
yes, exactly. He has become one of the three legends with Bernie Slavin and another bloke, basically. But of course, yes, we have our very own Scott McDonald, who did the business against Brighton, of course.
Yeah, and it was like a sniffer's goal, to go back to Alan Clark, I suppose, remember that? he was there when the ball was spilled and knocked it in, and he's making a habit now of, he went for that long spell at the start of the season where he couldn't score, and he's on a good run. Well, he's obviously he hasn't scored every game, but he's scored four goals last few games, which is very handy indeed. And when we saw Emner's limp off, we've yet to find out the extent of his injury, but it shows you need more than one striker scoring goals. You definitely need the other striker, at least.
And needless to say, we'll be addressing this slightly closer to the time, but draw taken between a Chinese chap and another bloke who was randomly selected by ITN to obviously support Jim Rosenthal in the cup draw, who actually did draw out the home draws these days. I can't remember. It was a Chinese player, and there was another sort of player who was in the... They're so memorable.
I was actually driving back from Bristol City at the time.
Well, there we are. Well,
anyway. We were first out of the out of the hat or whatever it is, weren't we? We were the first.
We were indeed. Was that on the Sunday? I thought the Bristol City game was the Saturday.
I was driving back on the Sunday because Bristol City match kicked off at 5:20 p.m.
There you are. Certainly an overnight stay, no doubt.
Yes, that's right.
Well, there we are. Overnight stay at Ashton Gate. You know, what more can you ask?
What more?
Exactly. Yes, Middlesbrough first out of the hat and playing Shrewsbury, but we remember them from times past, either way.
We remember fond memories and dismal memories because it was the final game before the liquidation when we got beaten 2-1 and sent down.
Yeah.
The season before that, we won there the last match 2-0, and it was Willie Madden's finest triumph as a manager being carried off the pitch. So it made it even worse to actually fall to defeat the season after.
But of course, there was the cup memory as well.
Yeah, and this will be a new cup memory.
Exactly. All sort of thing. We'll be looking at David Bates' article from Boom to Doom. It's really Fly Me to the Moon actually gets political, one might well say, particular aspect, which is interesting from that point of view. Plus, of course, a Kadeem Hussein piece of poetry, which I'm always tempted to actually say, shall we do it now?
Okay.
You know, get it out of the way. You know, I mean, I know we've sort of always built up this, but sorry, Kadeem, but you know, the letters have been short from that point of view. We could celebrate the joys of the Boris 37 minutes, a marathon in every sense of the word, extravaganza put together, obviously, at the. Is it still on by the time people will be listening?
No, it's actually finished. It was a run the whole of last week. And a lot of people went to see it.
If you want to find out what it's all about, simply find the podcast that we did when it was launched outside the Riverside Stadium and tell you all about it.
Well, the project continues because and the next phase of the project is a big exhibition starting after Christmas at Dorm Museum, which I think, having been involved, is very likely to be the best ever Borough exhibition that you'll ever see.
High praise. In every sense of the word from that particular point of view. Okay, Kadeem Hussein's poem, which relates obviously to the Johnny, he's choking. He's choking with the emotion. Yeah. Did you notice that?
I did.
Just overwhelmed.
The tears were welling up.
Exactly, of the Brighton game, etc. Up the Borough! Robbed, nicked, stolen, ransacked, pillaged, plundered. Don't care what the headlines are. We have three golden points. Southampton and West Ham, the top two, have none. Promotion charge back on tracks. Up the Borough!
Love it.
It was. I mean, it could almost have been, you know, a prescient poem ahead of the Brighton game, because obviously 1-0 against Bristol, 1-0 against Brighton, or as I've been tempted to actually say, 1-0 to the Mogganaut, 1-0 to the Mogganaut. You see what we're going there? Sort of an adaptation.
Lovely, yeah.
And I think if Thierry Henry can have a statue outside the Emirates Stadium, why not Willie Madron and Tony Mowbray? You know, Arsene Wenger possibly joined by the statues as well, really. All sorts of things there. As we mentioned, heaps of good stuff to actually come, all on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon. The podcast.
I wanted to find out from a real solicitor what happens when you let your insurance company look after your car accident claim. So I spoke to Charles Atha of Atha & Co.
Insurance companies make money from selling your claim to their own legal people. If you want solicitors who you can speak to face to face, someone who worked to achieve the best possible offer of compensation, you're better off choosing someone you know.
Someone you know? That sounds familiar, Charles.
Choose the one you know.
Call 01642-225-75 or text ADVICE to 81400 now.
Pharma Nord is the chemist to call for your nutritional needs. All of our products have been built on scientific research to help with your health. Pharma Nord can even help in such areas as senile dementia, strokes and Alzheimer's. All our products are made in accordance with pharmaceutical standards and guidelines. And all our products are just one call away. Call Pharma Nord on 01670-519989. That's 01670-519989. Or visit pharmanord.co.uk. Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
With over 80 ensuite bathrooms and a high quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides a perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
a purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential elderly EMI and nursing service users, offering both short and long-stay accommodation as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 308 188.
To give yourself the best chance of maximum compensation, you need to know that three or four insurance companies dominate the market, so the same insurer could be acting for both sides. You should also know they sell your claim to one of their own solicitors, leading to unwanted calls from all sorts of places. And finally, you need to know that you do have a choice. Don't be pushed into accepting your insurance company's solicitors. Make your own decisions. Insurers are for cars. Ather & Co. are for people. Call now on 01642 222 575.
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
So he's actually doing it then, the man who was responsible for bringing the delights of Southside Broadcasting and Fly Me to the Moon together in one marvellous package of Fly Me to the Moon podcasts. Andrew Glover is indeed going to be getting married.
He is indeed, yes. He's going to miss the Brighton and Hove Albion game.
Outrageous. But still, never mind. His particular line is that last week he couldn't see Brighton and Hove Albion because he was watching the X Factor to see if, obviously... Well, I suppose you could say North East Hopefield's all right. Third place for Amelia Lilly, but first place for those kind of Newcastle people...
Well, Andrew's based up there, actually, so...
I see. Oh, well, there we are. That's the key thing from that point of view. Also, where he was phoning the emergency services to find out if there were any serious incidents. He also has an interesting comment on how the media, in his own words, collectively wet themselves because Martin O'Neill, a Sunderland fan, has taken over at the Stadium of Light. Started supporting them, as we know, on account of Ireland centre-half Charlie Hurley. So, it's nice to see that there's a connection from that point of view there.
Yeah.
Looks like it could be a bit frustrating because we were obviously hopeful that under the joys of Steve Bruce they might have actually swapped places with Middlesbrough. I suspect that might not happen now. I just saw a strange feeling.
I think Tony Mowbray said about Martin O'Neill that he said basically his philosophy as a manager is as a winning manager. Winning is the main thing. So.
Yep.
It's
not bad
philosophy. Really.
We're not here to talk about that other club.
No, we're not.
Certainly, we sort of move on quite dexterously from that perspective.
Absolutely.
To the political side of things here. Boom to Doom, David Bates writing. I remember the 80s when times were bleak and Riox or Young Borough were the only good thing about life. Remembering the 80s and the 90s and 2000s when things were better and we could all rest safely in the knowledge that those dark days were behind us. If not, don't worry. There's no longer any need to reminisce about the 80s these days for the simple fact that we seem to be reliving them again anyway. The day of action or inaction, depending on your particular point of view that took place. Clearly, we have said Fly Me to the Moon gets political. No, it's obviously taken a very positive aspect for the steel workers and was very much in favour of that. This is a case where, obviously, he decided to set an ace photographer and violin player Tracy Hyman out on the streets of Middlesbrough to actually go head-to-head with Unison officials and the police and police forces and various other sort of side of things, etc. I do like the little line that's featured on the photographs from the socialist worker, not one cut, he's got to go. Well, he has gone from Europe, I suppose, but
yes,
that's story
true.
Entirely,
yeah.
Really.
A week on, he's gone. Yeah.
Exactly. It's a different perspective there. Maybe he was just confused. You know, that's the key thing. He was doing all sorts of other areas, etc. Ultimately, it is a very serious line because clearly at its most sort of basic, it will impact in terms of attendances at the matches if people feel that they can't afford to go to the game.
That's right. It's probably less clear cut than to look at it than the steelworkers because this is something that people, their fear for jobs, their fear for pensions in the future, which prevents people putting their hand in the pocket.
Being editor of Fly Me to the Moon, obviously you have a full-fledged pension, which is probably equivalent to the Maxwell Mirror pension scenario.
That's the sort of thing, yeah. It's sunk on a yacht.
Yeah, exactly. Nice line from David, though. David Bates, it must be one of the most spectacular achievements in modern history that the Tories' propaganda has ended up convincing vast swathes of the population that a deficit caused by a global banking crisis and collapsing tax revenue is actually the fault of profligate spending on health, education, community services. Well, of course. I mean, that's... enough. The only way to solve the resulting economic crisis is more of the same unbridled neoliberalism that caused it in the first place. It's like a doctor telling a recovering heroin addict that they need to flush the smack out of their system with a massive dose of cocaine and ecstasy. No relation to the Bates who plays for Middlesbrough, presumably, Matthew, is David? Or
I don't think so, but no. this David Bates wrote his first pieces for Flying to the Moon at the age of 15. They were handwritten with a biro, and it just said at the end, David Bates, age 15. And if he hadn't have put that, I wouldn't have known it, because he was a very intelligent, articulate lad at that age.
As we say, work placements can occasionally be very wonderful on that side of things, etc., but sometimes, you know, they're not. Well done, David, from that point of view, and he's obviously still thriving. What's he doing now, then? Has he moved on? Is he now 16? Is he 17?
No, he's done a degree, and I think he's now doing his master's. Yes. He went to Sunderland, actually, and did his degree.
Shows a slight sort of peculiar station there still. Ugly Beautiful, A Salute to the Art of Ugly Winning, and a photo of John Lennon featured here, as well as...
we're not suggesting he's ugly.
No, I was going to say, a definite line from that point of view. As John Lennon once said when he looked at the festive footy fixtures, and so this is Christmas... No, I won't do that. This Christmas of Borough of Hands, though, looks a heck of a lot brighter than the Christmas of 2010. It's a generally... I think it's an upbeat note. I mean, as Chris Bartley says, he's looking forward to the Christmas period. If we win a few of them 1-0, he would be very happy indeed. Winning ugly, it's a beautiful thing. And clearly, there's the... they started off with a 1-0 result against Brighton. Hull City, of course. We talk about that close to the time, but that is the Boxing Day extravaganza.
Yes, that's right, yes.
With former Borough player Nick Barmby, obviously in the hot seat.
Yeah, player manager at the moment, isn't he? Made a pretty bright start.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's interesting. Nigel Pearson seems to be, again, one of those managers who seems to be always rolled up.
That is bizarre.
He's getting to the stage, really, dare I say it, that other great legend, Steve Cotterill, is, where, you know, any fans who actually hear that Steve Cotterill is coming to your club, no! You know, just don't. It's just not good at all in any way, shape or form from that perspective. So onwards to the next sort of line of things, which is really... Well, do we go for the rock and roll lifestyle of Hugo Ehiog, which seems ironic in its own way, because clearly he's sort of moved up into all sorts of ways, etc. Or talking about rock and roll, I feel it's only right we mention Shrug, the band with square wheels.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of them.
This is very important. I mean, not only, you know, people say, so Rob's email address, Rob Shrug, you know, where's it actually come from? Find out at the Pop-Up Gallery, 148 Linthorpe Road. 26 years and counting of Shrug.
Yes.
So no major sort of schisms, no Oasis-like splits, no kind of Louis Walsh, let's get together again and have a reunion tour scenario. You've stayed constant.
Well, we have actually, people have come and gone, so hoping they'll all come back and play actually on Thursday night, the people that, but that's just mainly time factor. There's been no big musical differences, I don't think. In that period.
That's fine, etc. Songs which effectively your granddad would have tapped his pipe to, from the Albert Pub upstairs room to East Berlin and very nearly back again. Yes, from Thursday the 15th to Saturday the 17th of December, a band with square wheels exhibition between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. That's at the Pop-Up Gallery, 148 Linthorpe Road, with, of course, the gig on Thursday evening. So hopefully people will be able to actually access that, really.
I hope so. Should be good fun.
Multi-talented. In fact, we can almost say we could be working on the musical Fly Me to the Moon, the musical.
Yes.
Thought of that.
Yeah.
It's something we're carrying.
Well, it's a musical note, isn't it? It lends itself, Fly Me to the Moon.
Absolutely. Quite clearly, you know, in all sorts of ways, as we said, without sort of seeking copyright from that perspective.
No. Absolutely.
There's a little line here about supporting Grangetown Youth Football Club.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think we need to mention, because we obviously gave tribute to the late, great Alan Keane,
yes.
MP. He's actually sort of... this is something which is legacy is such an overused word these days, but this is a genuine legacy.
It is. Absolutely. It was a former boys' club that where Alan found his feet in all respects, really, as a young man, in Grangetown, and his wife thought it would be a really good thing to put instead of people, you know, at funerals where you donate to a charity or, you know, rather than flowers, he thought it would be a really good thing to put something back into where he came from, because it was always very important to him. He still went back to Grangetown a lot, and they found out that the Grangetown, the youth football club, was in serious financial problems at the moment, even though on the pitch they've been incredibly successful, and it's very important for that community. So all money has been gratefully accepted, and hopefully they're going to have a whip round in Parliament, which might get £2 or £3 up there. But it's as Anne said, Anne Keane said to me, it's good. It's something that you will see some tangible sort of progress from the money, and it'll be such a boon for the community.
If you're interested in actually following this through, you can go to Remembering Alan Keane. Contact the Parliamentary Labour Party on 0207 219 4552. That's 0207 219 4552. Or write to them, Parliamentary Labour Party, House of Commons, London, SW1A. OAA, that's the Parliamentary Labour Party, House of Commons, London, SW1A, OAA, and headed up Remembering Alan Keane. It's sort of changed to actually use telephone number and an actual written address.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Very, very good on that perspective. And I see that the Manchester City connection continues once again, a little a tenuous one. Alan Kernahan, of course, who was a few times playing down at Main Road, I think it was, before he actually played under the City of Manchester Stadium, but
I think it'd be Main Road.
Yes, I think he was a Main Road man, etc.
We'll actually find out in the next issue, because I think he's going to update. It's a two-parter.
Exactly. This is it, with Burrow's Irish connection obviously gearing up for the ease by which the Republic of Ireland will actually traverse through their group in the European Championships. I mean, they've just got Spain, Germany and some other side to actually work through, so easy peasy.
That's right. I remember, wasn't Alan Kernahan brought on as a super sub by Jack Charlton when they played Holland in the playoffs for finals, and he put him on as a centre forward?
Yep.
I remember that, but exactly. The field, didn't they, narrowly?
Still, I've continues. Cardiff City is the away game before, obviously, we get into festive frolics and various other factors.
Good of the fixtures to send us down to Bristol City 1 week and then 2 weeks later send us to Cardiff City.
Precisely. And allowing for that, we said the West Ham game was a six-pointer. As the results have improved, actually, it's been okay, really, because whereas West Ham, I think, after that result, which we haven't really spoken about, but, you know, they won, unfortunately.
No, we don't want to speak about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. But since then, West Ham haven't been great. Obviously,
terrible.
Exactly, have sort of work through that, so it's opened, I think, a whole range of
things. Yeah, it's a kind of, whether it's a six-pointer or the fact is that it really opens the door for us if we were to go there and repeat our performance and result from the end of last season when we absolutely hammered them. But even if we drew with Cardiff, it's probably not the end of the world, but to win it is an opportunity, isn't it? It would sort of mean that over Christmas we could actually move up again and not be thinking playoffs is the limit of our we're not going to get any higher than that. We'll see what happens.
I think it's interesting, particularly as Malky Mackay, the Cardiff City manager, has been claiming to effectively have a Barcelona approach in terms of pass and move. It's the Cardiff City
group. Oh, right.
That's the line, so it'll be interesting to see.
So he's trying to think along the terms of Swansea City in the Premier League.
Clearly, you know, these Welsh people in their own marvellous, magical ways. Onwards to how do people actually subscribe for the really exciting 500th edition.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. The ideal, perfect early New Year's gift, or indeed Russian Orthodox Christmas present, or indeed late Christmas present if you're looking at the Christian line of things, etc. Or possibly just happy holidays. Here's a gift for you, my child.
Well, indeed, it will be. It's out for Boxing Day, so it'll be out a few days before Christmas, I imagine. So if you go to the website www.fmttm.com and look for subscribe, I'll put up some special details on there as well for this, because it is a special issue. Or my email is robshrug@gmail.com, and the old-fashioned thing is Flam at the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Jilks Street, Middlesbrough, TS1, 5, A for Alan, P for Peacock.
There we are. Little roll of honour for today's piece, because we haven't had a chance to actually have any guests folk in here, but we'd like to salute David Bates, Tracy Hyman, Andrew Glover, and of course Nikki Bailey. Of course, the entire
Nikki Bailey,
definitely, exactly. Mm. And that other chap that we forgot to mention right at the start, Chris Bartley.
Of course, Chris, yeah.
There we are, all sorted through. So there we are, we've given details out to how people subscribe. Everything else is sorted out. It's almost time for the festive cheer, but not quite, because we'll save that for the Christmas Eve edition, which is obviously tying in with the 500th edition. So, Rob, over to you in your own inimitable way. Let's wrap up this podcast. Issue 499, Podcast Companion Issue 499, the retrospective victorious war against Brighton and Hove Albion.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.